And that song talks about struggling through life's deserts. A lot of people in the church world today are struggling. Me and JB is talking about it. Me and my pastor Jerry, his brother, was talking about it. And it seems like everywhere you go, churches are struggling for attendance and are struggling to stay motivated and stay in the faith. And that's just why I was listening to the radio today, the King of Kings, and he was talking about how because the days are evil, people are just dropping off. The world's getting wickeder and wickeder, and the church seems like it's getting weaker and weaker. But we have to stay strong. I mean, we have to stay faithful and endure to the end. The Bible says if we endure to the end, there's a crown of life waiting for us. Amen. Our hope should not be in this world. The problem is we get to where we're looking on the world like Peter did on the water. And Peter began to sink when he took his eyes off Jesus. Today the church is starting to sink because they're taking their eyes off the one that bought and paid for them and redeemed him, Jesus Christ. And today so many people are struggling through those life deserts and they're struggling and they feel bound down. They feel oppressed, amen, by the enemy. But God is still the one that's able to break the chains today. He's able to do so if we'll just give it to Him and trust Him through the whole thing. The problem is that we don't want to let go. We don't want to let our situation, our life, go. We have to remember we've got to walk by faith and not by sight. Everything in the world, amen, God's got the final say in everything, amen. So listen to the words of this song. If you're struggling, if you've got chains binding you today, come and let the Lord loose you from the chains. We saw about Lazarus earlier, and Lazarus was in the tomb, and Jesus approached the tomb, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And when he did, he was in these grave clothes, these wraps. He said, loose him and let him go. I mean, there's a woman in the Bible had an infirmity, and Jesus told her, woman, thou art loosed. Amen. Today, if you want to be loosed, set free, he'll break the chains for you. Once I was found in sin's dark prison, no one around to ease the pain. I had no hope, no cause for living, but then Jesus came. Child of the King this morning. Are you a child of a King this morning? That's the real question. Have you given your heart to Christ? Have you given your life? Have you committed to serving Him? You know, a lot of people today, they like to, you'll see a couple every now and then, and I've heard of couples living together for many years. and they'll have children together, and they've lived together for 15, 20 years. And you can't help but wonder, why don't they don't get married? And I ask myself, you know, why is that? You're willing to live with somebody, and you're willing to have children with them, but you're not willing to give yourself to that person completely. You're not willing to commit. Amen. That's what it's all about today. Are you committed to Christ, to God? Are you committed to seeing it through to the very end? You see, when you get married to someone, you have every intention of going with them all the way through the long haul. And Jesus said, I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. You see, the church and Christ, that's a marriage relationship. Amen. And every time we decide to lay out a church, every time we decide to not give our all for Christ, we are letting that marriage relationship down. Amen. That covenant that we made with Christ, those marriage vows when we got saved, we are breaking those marriage vows all the time whenever we do something like that. But I tell you what, today it's about going through. Jesus said, those that endure to the end shall be saved. Amen. Today, I can say, are you good, glad to be a child of the King? And everybody in this house will raise their hand up. But if I say, are you willing to go all the way for Christ? Amen. That might be a different story. But I want to encourage you this morning. I didn't come to beat and bang on you. That was free. That didn't mean part of the message. The Lord just put that on my heart. But I tell you what, I would ask you this morning, how is your walk with Christ? How is your commitment with Christ today? Amen. Before I even come to preach this morning, I had to examine myself. The Bible says to examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Amen. You might be saved, but are you walking in the faith? Amen. It's a challenge every day when we get up, go out to face the workplace, go out to face the world, to be able to keep our status and righteousness with God in check. Amen. It's a challenge every day that we do that. That's why it's so easy to see church houses empty today. Amen, because it's so hard when you get out in this world. It's easy to look on the multitudes of the things the world has to offer or the things that are going wrong with the world and not look inward and say, what is wrong in my life? What is wrong with my relationship with Christ? What is keeping me from even darkening the doors of the church house? But this morning, if you got your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, if the Lord allows. We'll try to preach this message as best as we can. Try not to hold you too long. I don't know about you, but I feel good this morning in the Lord. I had myself a little revival on the way down here. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm glad it could be storming outside. But God is in the midst of the storm. He's the master of the storm, and He's the master of your life if you'll let it be. Bible in 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to read a very familiar story, very familiar scripture. But you may have never seen it this way before. I've always wanted to get on this subject here. I've never really started studying it until last night. The Lord finally helped me realize what this could be about. And I want to be able to preach on this today by His help. But if you got your Bibles, then thank you for standing. If you do, to the reading of the Word. I know some of you are not able to stand. But amen. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to start in the first verse, give you some context here, give some background. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Talk about commitment. I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto them, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. That's as far as I'm going to read. You may be seated. Appreciate your reverence to the Word of God. But I want you to notice here, there's a lot going on in this small little chapter of the Bible. And this is just one chapter out of the hundreds that are in the Bible. Amen. I'd like to go a little deep with you this morning. I hope you are ready to go a little deep with me in the Word. Amen. I hope there's some of you out there that are off the milk and onto the meat of the Word, because you can't grow unless you get off the milk and start eating solid food and in the Word of God. Bible says to rightly divide the Word of God. Hopefully we'll be able to get into rightly dividing the Word today. But I want you to notice in this chapter, Elijah was going with Elisha, and they were going to a journey. They were going to head to some place. Elijah had a destination, that he had an appointment to meet with the Lord over in Jordan. Amen. And he went down from Bethel, and he told Elisha, he said, "I want you to stay here. I've got some business to do over here." And Elisha said, "I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to go with you, and I'll be with you all the way. I'm not going to leave you." So they both go on their journey. And every time, I want you to notice, every time they went to go further into the journey, there was some kind of obstacle there to hinder them. Amen. Does that sound familiar this morning? Some of you got up this morning and you thought, "Well, it's rainy, it's cold, it's dreary outside. I might as well just stay home. I think I feel a little sniffle. I might as well just stay in the bed. It feels so cold and nice and warm and cozy here." And there was an obstacle for you to overcome. But amen, they didn't halt themselves. They went a little further each time. And those of you that showed up this morning, you overcame that obstacle. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're able to be counted among those that are in God's house today. And you're able to say, "I've conquered this obstacle." And you've got a little closer to the Lord by doing so. But they went a little bit further. And Elijah told him again, he said, "I've got to go a little bit further here now. I've got to go all the way across to Jericho." And he said, "Why don't you just stay here and I'll get my business done." Amen. And Elisha said, "No, how far be it. No, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to go right by you. So I'm going to stick to you like a shadow." They go a little further, and there's them sons of the prophets again. Amen. The sons of the prophets. Ain't it terrible? Some of the times the people that give you the most flack is the Christian people. Amen. Sometimes the one that will be of your own house. Jesus said those that will be your own house will be enemies. And that's not just talking blood kin. That's talking about the family of God. Sometimes they get at each other's throats. They want to cut each other down, but that's not the ways of the Lord. But the sons of the prophets were there to provoke Elisha, get him discouraged, and start thinking about what he was really doing. I don't know if they were jealous. I don't know what their motivation was. A lot of people sometimes in life, they want to cut you down because they see you getting to another level in God, and they're jealous that they haven't got there yet. Sons of the prophets came by. They said, "Oh, your master's head is going to be taken away from you." He said, "I know it. Hold you peace. I got business for the Lord." A lot of us Christians need to be like that. Devil come and whisper in your ear, "Do you know you're going to have a bad day? Oh, they said that the hurricane's coming this way, or they said you've got cancer, or they said somebody you love is going to have some kind of illness. Hey, you need to just tell the devil, shut up, devil. I know about it, but I know a bigger God. Amen.
Amen.
That's why we don't have victory today. We cower under the threats of the devil, not realizing that he has no power this morning. Amen. Jesus overcame him when he rose from the grave. Elisha told him in country boy talk, shut up. That's what he told him. And he went a little further. He said, Elijah told him, he said, you know, I've got one more stop. And I don't know if he can handle it or not. He said, I've got to go over to Jordan. Now, there was another obstacle between them and getting across Jordan. And that was the whole river. And the sons of the prophets, notice in verse 7, the 50 men of the sons of prophets went and they stood to view afar off. They wanted to see if Elisha was going to fall flat on his face. And Elijah took up his mantle, he smote the waters. And it said they were divided hither and thither. The waters of Jordan were parted. Just like the waters of the Red Sea were parted. The Jordan River is parted several times in the Bible. It was parted by Elijah. It was parted by Elisha. It was parted when Joshua had to cross over. Several times in the Bible, the Jordan River is parted.
Yeah, it was.
But I want you to notice here. He parted and they went on dry ground. And that's a miracle of the Lord. They went through. God provided for them to get through on dry ground. And Elijah got there and Elisha said, what is it you're going to ask of me? There's a reward here. You've stuck with me all the way. What is it you want? And Elijah said something that everybody in this house knows about. He said, I want a double portion.
Yeah.
But what did he want a double portion of? What does it say? Did he want a double portion of his power? Did he want a double portion of his fame? Well, the Bible says, and you'll find it in verse 9, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He knew God was with Elijah, and he wanted God to be with him. He wanted Elijah's God to be his God. That's why he asked in verse 14, he took the mantle and he smote the water. He said, where's the God of Elijah? He wanted to see if God of Elijah was now his God. And when he parted the waters, he realized that God was with him. The double portion had been added. If you read through the Bible, you'll find that Elisha had a double amount of as many miracles as Elijah did. But the double portion is not just about doing things twice as good. The double portion has a deeper meaning. And if you go with me this morning, I want to try to open your eyes to this and do the best I can. Like I said, I'm trying not to hold you too long, but amen, this is important for people to hear today, especially the children of God, because I'm here to encourage you this morning and encourage you to keep the faith. Keep fighting, amen. Run the race that's set before you and press toward the prize of the high calling of the mark of Christ. Keep going. Don't give up. Go with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Let me show you what the double portion really means. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 15. I'm going to read down about three verses and you'll find out. It's going to click. That's what it means. Bible says in Deuteronomy 21:15, if a man have two wives, one beloved and the other hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a what? What? Double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Now go back to 2 Kings chapter 2 with me. What Elisha was actually asking was, I want the right of the firstborn. As far as we know, Elijah never had any kids, never had any wives. As far as we know, Elijah didn't. He was a prophet of God. He was sanctified for the Lord's service. Now, the Bible talks about John the Baptist and how he was a type of Elijah. And guess what? far as we know, John the Baptist didn't have a wife. He didn't have any kids. He was sanctified for the Lord. And here's Elisha saying, I know you don't have any kids, but I want to be grafted in. I want to be adopted. I want to become what in today's language we would call a godson. And the term godson, I looked that up last night because that just kind of came in my mind. Godson is kind of like whenever somebody's present, a male is present or parents are present at a child's baptism, they kind of vouch for him. They kind of sponsor that baptism is what the definition really means. And when a person becomes a godson, that means the people that are the godparents, amen, have to take care of them and have to raise them in the ways of the Lord. So there are a father figure, but a spiritual father figure or a spiritual mother figure. Therefore, they are godparents. They raise them in the ways of God. And if anything should happen to that child's regular parents, their real parents, the godparents have to resume responsibility for that godson, that godchild. And I hope you get all that. That's more in the ways of a Catholic religion as we see it today, but anybody can be a godson or godparent. Basically, it's the real parent saying, I want you to become another parent, a godly parent, a godparent to this child. That's how you become a godparent, a godson. Well, Elijah was Elisha's godfather. And if you think about Paul, when he's in the New Testament, Paul was a godfather to Timothy. He was the godfather to Titus and maybe even many others. He called Timothy his own son in the faith. Godparents. Godchildren. Why is this important? Because Elijah didn't have an heir. He didn't have any children. And here was Elisha saying, I want to become the spiritual son to you. I want to have a double portion. What was Deuteronomy? It said, of all he had. I want a double portion. I want an inheritance of all you have. He was claiming the birthright spiritually. He was claiming the right of the firstborn. And I see a lot of yous with blank faces out there. Your mind's probably blown, but stick with me. There's a point to all this. You remember the story of Jacob and Esau. Esau was the elder brother. He was born first. Jacob came after. They were twins. It came to pass that Esau, he was a hunter. And you'll find this, if you want to turn, you can. If not, that's fine. In Genesis chapter 25, it was talking about how Esau was in the field. He was a hunter. And it said, let's see here. Chapter 25 of Genesis, verse 27, it said, the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter. He was skillful. And a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man. He dwelt in tents. And Isaac loved Esau. Why? He was the firstborn. He was the firstborn. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob, mama's boy. Jacob was a mama's boy. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. I'm hungry, I'm starving, I'm famished. Feed me with that pottage you made, for I'm faint. Therefore his name was called Edom. And you'll find in Genesis chapter 36 that Esau is Edom. That whole nation came from Esau. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said unto him, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do unto me? You know what he did? He gave up. He sold the firstborn's double portion privilege for a pot of stew. People are selling out today for little to nothing. Christians are selling out today for little to nothing. They see a shiny object the devil has presented to them, and they'll sell out like that. Elijah told Ahab, you've sold yourself for evil. You've sold out. And he died because of it. Ahab, the king, one of the wickedest kings that there was in the Bible. And Elijah was the prophet in those days. But he said, what's it going to profit me? I'm going to die anyway if I don't eat something. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, And he took, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He had the rights to the double portion, to the extra blessing. Why? Because in Deuteronomy we learn that he is the beginning of his strength. The firstborn is the one that started out in the strength of the sire, the one that had sired him, the father, the line. It was very important back in those days that you established your line, you established your name. The firstborn, their responsibility was to go on and establish the name of the rest of the family. And he sold the responsibility, he sold it all to Jacob, who deceived him about it. He sold his double portion. Like I said today, many people are selling out for little to nothing. They're selling out their birthright. You say, what do you mean by the birthright? We've been talking about Elijah. We've been talking about this firstborn privilege here, this double portion. I want you to go with me, if you got your Bible, to Romans chapter 8. We all know this chapter. It's a spiritual chapter in the Bible. Now, I want you to keep that in mind too. Elisha wanted a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Okay, we're going to get back to that in just a minute. Romans chapter 8. The Bible says in verse 14 of Romans chapter 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, we remember, we probably sounds familiar, and over in John, it said that he was in the world and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came into his own and his own received him not. That's the Jews. But as many as received him, that's the whole world, whosoever will, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you have believed on his name today, if you've confessed the Lord as your Savior and confessed your sins, then you have the power to become, and you are a son of God. And you have the privilege of the inheritance. And many are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Who was Christ? He was the firstborn. He was the firstborn. He was the only begotten. He was Mary's firstborn. He was the firstborn conceived of the Holy Ghost. The inheritance belongs with Christ. And if you are not in Christ, you will have no part in that inheritance. Period. That's how serious it is. If heirs, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. People today are dropping off like flies. The Christian church is, and they don't realize that what we go through in this life is nothing compared to what we'll receive in glory. The very next verse says that. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Think about that. We get our eyes on the temporary. The temporary is what we sell our birthright for. The temporary is what Esau sold his birthright for, a temporary meal. You ever notice when you go eat something, a few hours later you get hungry? It's temporary. This world, everything in it is temporary. It's all going to perish. But if we are in Christ Jesus, this body be resurrected in a glorified body that will never perish again. Elisha, a few chapters before where we started at, Elisha had a mother and a father. And we hear about Elisha over in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. In verse 19 of 1 Kings 19, it says, so he departed thence, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him. What did he do? He cast his mantle upon him. That's his kind of like his scarf, his robe, his mantle. He cast that upon him. He's saying, I nominate you. And he left the oxen, and he ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. The point of that scripture is to show you that Elisha had parents. He was the son of Shaphat. Not only that, but his parents were wealthy. How do you get that, preacher? He had 12 yoke of oxen plowing in the field. You don't plow unless you plan to sow. With 12 yoke, can you imagine how big the field have to be? How much crops they would have to sow? But can you imagine the harvest they would reap? There's work to be put in, but the harvest is great. And they had enough money that they didn't care that Elisha slew one of the yoke of oxen. Now, a yoke is at least two. It's at least a pair. So 12 yokes times two, 24 ox. He goes and slays a yoke of oxen. That's two oxen he slays and he gives to his family. And they didn't blink an eye. He has all the money that you'd need. And when his father and mother dies, he gets that inheritance. But Elijah wasn't concerned. I want you to notice something. Elijah wasn't concerned with that earthly inheritance. He went back to his father's, kissed him goodbye, and said, I'm on my way to a better country. Amen. Went with Elijah all the way. And he asked for a double portion, not of Elijah's inheritance. He didn't probably have one. He was just a Roman prophet. He was roaming from here and from there. Probably didn't have nothing with him. But he had something more than money could buy, spiritually. Elisha wanted a double portion of the inheritance that counted, the one that wasn't temporary. He wanted the inheritance that was eternal, amen. He wanted a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Today, we're not out there looking for temporary things. So Abraham, he was looking for a country. One not made with hands. One not temporary. If it's made with hands, you see all over the world today in old ruins, like Roman ruins and Greek ruins. The buildings are about to topple over. And the buildings are decaying and they're falling apart. And those things are temporary. But amen, there's a building that's not made with human hands. They'll never rust. It'll never decay. It'll never get old. Amen. It'll be there forever. Amen. And that's what our goal should be. We need to look on the eternal. Not the temporary. The eternal. That's what's going to count. The eternal. I'll go to this last scripture and then I'll be done. I read this and I just kept reading this. This is just like a good meal that you can't get enough of. You keep going back. How many likes them buffets? I love buffets. I can prove it right here. I love Chinese buffets. I love Gold Corral. Just about any buffet you put me on, I love it. I like going back to the good food. And I just kept going back to this spiritual buffet right here in Colossians chapter 1. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Let's start at verse 9. There's a lot of good power in these verses. Remember, we're talking about the firstborn. We're talking about the inheritance. We need to be encouraged. We have an inheritance, amen, that's eternal. One this world cannot touch. You may go bankrupt and lose everything you have here, but you won't go bankrupt in heaven. If your treasure's there, your heart's going to be there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to the desire, now notice this is Paul speaking, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Earthly understanding won't get you many places. It may here on earth, but it won't do you good in eternity. God, Paul prayed that they would be wise spiritually in spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Ephesians 6 over there said, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Strengthened with all might according to the glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. In light. He's made it meet. He's made it fitting. It's only fitting that the Christians should be part of the inheritance. The eternal inheritance. Boy, this next part about God be shouting. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Not said, it didn't say He will deliver us. He's going to deliver us. He said, hath delivered us. That means right now we're delivered from the power of darkness. Ephesians also talks about the whole armor of God. It talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, the rulers of darkness, high places. We're delivered from those. Christ delivered us from those when he was on the cross. He paid the ransom. He now, when he rose from the grave, owes the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And it says he's already delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us, already translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You know, we're walking in God's kingdom today if we're Christian. The kingdom of God has not come to earth yet in the form of physical things, but spiritually, Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, I believe it was verse 21, he said, they're going to say, look here and look there, the kingdom of God. He said, no, the kingdom of God is in you. It's already here. The kingdom of God dwells within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We have all rights to the firstborn privileges. That's why when we ask what we want, when we ask what we need from God, he's willing to supply our every need according to his riches and glory. Why? Because we have access to the Father, the one that has the inheritance. He's already delivered us. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now that's kind of confusing. He's talking about Jesus. Let me just make it clear to you. Jesus has always been. He was never created. He's always been. He was born on this earth, but that's not what he's talking about. Let's read a little further. The firstborn of every creature. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Contrary to popular scientific evolutionary belief, God created the heavens and the earth. Christ created the heavens and the earth. All things were made by him. Without him was nothing made, the Bible tells us. And it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. Now notice, Elisha, the 50 sons of prophets, kept saying they're going to take away, God's going to take away the head. When Christ departed, the head of the church left. Christ left, the head of the body left, the body's still on this earth. Elijah left, the head left, his body, his seed, spiritually, was still on this earth in Elisha. There's still some things he had to go through. There's still a walk he had to complete. That's the same thing with me and you. And he said, he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of what? From the dead. That in all things he might have the preeminence. He is the head of everything. That's what preeminence means. He's over everything. Why? Because he conquered death. The Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You said a while ago, who's our greatest enemy? Death. The devil. Those are some big enemies right there. But what it say? We're already delivered from the power of darkness. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you'll never die. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, the firstborn from the dead. In Revelation, John called him. He said, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Bible, and later on in the next verse, it said, he's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Me and you are kings and priests, but even more than that, if you're born again, you're part of the firstborn of the dead, of Christ. When you go when you get baptized, that's a symbol of an inward change. That's a symbol of being dead and raised again. Born again into a new life, walking in newness of life. As a Christian, we have the privilege and the right to be a joint heir with Christ. And so at all times, just like Elisha, after he left, he didn't doubt his ability in God. He didn't doubt God's ability in him. He walked on as if he was already an heir because he was. Me and you today are already an heir. We already have the double portion. We need to start living like it. Amen. need to start living, amen, like we're one of God's, amen, like we're part of the family of God. And it's so much more than just being a family member. We have access to God, amen. We have access to the windows of heaven. He's talking about tithes, but he said, just bring in the tithes to the storehouse and I'll open the windows of heaven. We see Elijah and Elisha and all the prophets. They go forth in the name of Christ, and they do all the, or the name of God, and they do all these different miracles. But I'm telling you, it's not them that do it, it's God through them. And I've heard many times of people being prayed for and they will be healed. It's not that the person had the power, but they had the faith and the relationship. Amen. That's what it's about. It's not a religion, it's a relationship with God. And if you are in good terms with God, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done. Eternal things. Don't go asking for temporary things. Really think about it. I want to challenge you this day. If you get nothing else out of this message, be careful and really think about what you ask God for. Really think about who you are in the kingdom. Really think about who you are as a son, as a daughter, as an heir with Christ, and what you have access to. Man, I tell you, Jesus couldn't do many mighty works, JB, in many of them cities because of what? Their unbelief. Man, I tell you, one of the plagues of the church today is they don't believe in God anymore. They say it's all right, it's good to go down to the altar and pray. I believe as much as that. But when it comes, amen, to some of the things that the Bible talks about that we have the rights and privilege to, amen, and that is calling upon God and expecting Him and believing Him that He'll do these things, we say, oh, no, I'll only go so far. I admit it. I'm guilty of that sometimes. Sometimes you question God. God, do I really have the right to this? Am I really able to do this? Are you really able to do this? And we limit God. Psalm 78 says that Israel in the wilderness limited the Holy One. Christ couldn't do many mighty miracles in some of those cities because of their unbelief. We need to believe God for what we ask. Amen. James tells us, he says, you have not because you ask not. And he that asks wisdom of God or asks anything, really, James chapter 1, 5 and 6, let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. Then he goes to say, a double-minded man is unstable with all his ways. We can't go wholehearted for God and then we hit a wall and say, oh, God can do everything but this. We've all done that. I encourage you today. If you're a Christian, you've got an inheritance that you need to strive for. Christ endured the cross, Hebrews 12. Christ endured the cross, despising the shame for the joy that was set before Him. The joy that He knew that when He overcame, we could all be reconciled to God. It was because of man that God was man was separated from God, and because of the second man, the second Adam, that he was reconciled to God if we give ourselves to Him. He wants to be reconciled. He wants to be part of the family. That's why it said in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I'll come in and sup with him. What's he saying? We'll be family. We'll have communion together. We'll have fellowship. Well, ain't it good when we have a big meal, we have homecoming or something, we come together and we fellowship. Sometimes that's church. I'm telling you, just that fellowship of getting to be with God's people, oh, it just stirs your heart. It gives you strength for the week, knowing that you're not alone. Elijah had his own problems. The Bible says he was a man of like passions as we are. There's one time he was in a cave, and he began to think, Lord, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. Sometimes we feel like, Lord, I'm the only one that's serving you. Why do I need to go to church and nobody else shows up? Pity party. That's where the devil wants us to be, right there. God said, I've got 700 men that have not bowed the knee to Baal. You keep going. I've got others out there. And today, Christian friend, you keep going today. God's got people out there that are serving Him. Don't you give up this close to heaven. We are in the last days. I believe at any time Jesus could split the eastern sky and call His own people out of here. That's why I kept saying, watch and pray. Watch and pray. You don't know the day or the hour. We need to be ready. That's the most important thing. I have asked you all to stand. If you would, ask them to come get a song, maybe a verse of Just As I Am, Amazing Grace, whatever's on your heart. I'm not going to tarry long, but if you have a need this morning, if you haven't been claiming your right as a joint heir with Christ, and you haven't been living victory, the victorious life, we just read that He's already delivered us from the power of darkness, and we've been translated into His kingdom. We're living in the kingdom of God today, spiritually. If you're not living that life, if you're not an overcomer, Romans 8, we just read, later on you'll find it says, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. If you're not living a conqueror life today, I invite you to come, fix it up with the Lord, and start this day. Leave differently than what you came. Leave victorious as they sing.